That was a clip from the film Mountain Move, which is playing at this year's Toronto Animation Arts Festival International. Welcome to Words and Pictures, the show about the narrative arts. I'm your host, SW Conser. And today I'm joined by an animator, comedy writer, producer, college professor, and co-founder of the Toronto Animation Arts Festival International, better known as Taffy. He's joining us online and in spirit from that fabled land of the North, Barnabas Warnoff. Hey. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, SW. Oh, it's been a dream to be on this show, and finally that's coming true. So I brought my best two mates with me.
All right. Well, also joining us are your two mates, Joel McKenzie and Spencer Moreland. Joel is an award-winning animator and character designer, and Spencer is an independent animator and storyboard artist from Ottawa. Welcome, Joel and Spencer.
Hello. Hi, thanks for having us.
Yeah.
My pleasure, gentlemen. So, Barney, let's talk a little bit about Taffy. In a normal year, if one of our listeners here in Portland wanted to attend the festival screenings, they'd have to drive 2,600 miles, or if you prefer, 4,200 kilometers.
I prefer that. Thank you.
Only to be turned away at the Canadian border because, of course, us Yanks can't be trusted to wear a face mask properly during a global pandemic. But this year, all the screenings that you're doing are virtual. They're on people's home screens. So tell us what people can expect.
Well, people can expect a lot of great programming. At first, we were like, let's just throw in the towel. Let's not do it. But so many people submitted films. We're like, we gotta make an animation festival this year. I dropped an F-bomb. I hope that's okay. It's late. Mm-hmm. It's late in Toronto, and we've been into the drink. You're going to see a lot of stuff. You're going to see we have, I think, over 80 or 90 shorts. We have a bunch of features from around the world. We've got crazy ones from Japan, and the directors are zooming in. So it's actually, we did an industry conference this fall, and I was, pretty depressed going into it, but it turned out better than I could even imagine. And I feel like this film festival is probably going to be the same kind of thing. Whereas in person, it's great. It's, it's the best, but this is the second best because you can still hang out with your buds. You're isolated at home and you're drinking alone and you wind up sleeping on the floor, but there's a lot of great content.
It's no different than before. Before the lockdown.
All the important pieces are there.
But so many more people from around the world can come, which is kind of the real cherry on the pie here.
Mm-hmm. I was surprised how networky and how much it did kind of feel legit, the last one. Because I was also skeptical. But then once you're in there and you're kind of like, the last party one especially, because you just like go in a room and then you'd be like plunked in the middle of like a bunch of these faces similar to this kind of like Zoom call. And then you're not going to just like, I gotta go somewhere else. Like you just kind of exist there and meet mingle. New people all the same. So it's kind of neat.
Well, the festival is already underway, but there are several more days of events still ahead. You started out with Wolf Walkers, the latest feature by Tom Moore, director of Book of Kells and Song of the Sea. What are some of the highlights that are still ahead?
Well, I was going to say Violence Voyageur, which is the last feature we're playing. I'm pretty stoked about that just because it's so crazy and creepy and gory and bloody. That's a fun one. Yeah, we have Croods with the director. That's happening Saturday morning too, which is
the new Croods.
A big DreamWorks film. So this is the first time that DreamWorks has ever done a virtual festival at all. And they chose to go with Toronto, which is ridiculous, but thank you for doing that.
And we won't let you down.
We'll do a great job.
Well, Spencer Moreland, you live in Ottawa, and that is the capital of, Canada. It is. I don't know how many Americans know this, but the biggest and most prestigious animation festival in North America happens every fall in your hometown, the Ottawa International Animation Festival.
That's right. Yeah.
So your little festival in Toronto, Barney, are you like the
thing? I see. Setting it up, knocking them down.
Are you like the farm team for the Ottawa Festival?
Ooh.
Yeah. We come in when they know we're our own thing. We're figuring out what we are, but we're actually three distinct different events. One big thing.
And what I do like that about Taffy, I think the first time I went to Taffy was the first time they did the film festival as a separate event from the industry conference. Is that right, Barney? It was the first one, right? And I like that because one of the Sophie's choice of the animation festival is talks or screenings. You know, sometimes they're set at the same time and you go, oh, I really want to see that film. I don't know when I'll get to see it. It's like, you know, I don't know when they'll be distributed here on DVD. So do I go see that or do go see this talk that like from this person I might not get a chance to hear from again? When you separate them, it's like you get to focus on one during the industry conference, which was back in November. And then film festival is just like, there's no conflict of scheduling. So I like that about it. It's
With Ottawa, you have a choice. With Taffy, we make the choice for you. It's the communist festival.
Yeah.
Is it going to be hard to go back to the in real life, the meet space kind of festival in the future? Because it sounds like you've had a year and you've like really put together this virtual thing and now you're able to put it out there to the whole world.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the other option is doing both, but I think like it's a no brainer. Like, can you go back and see, like sit in a theater and fart with people? Yes. Yes.
I can't wait.
Choose the farts, and I'm going to sit right between these two eggheads right here.
I actually had a question for you, Barney, along those lines. Out of what you guys have done with the virtual festival so far, what do you think is something that will like carry over even when we can do live events? Like I'll definitely do that, even though we're back in meet space, as we were saying.
Well, I think like the Discord, I think, is a nice add-on where you can kind of chat with people and hang out. I think like it's going to be hard to do both all the time, because I mean, like when you're in with people, then you're hanging out with people. You're not like, oh, I gotta check what's going on in the Discord. But I think there's things that you can take. I think some of that connectivity and some of the, you know, maybe streaming some of the films and that kind of stuff, I think is still great. And I think like with the speakers too, I think you can stream that too. But I think the networking is like, we're doing the best we can. And I think people appreciate that. I do. Cause like, I'm just, you know, going crazy and banging my head against the isolation here. But you know, if we make it through this, then there's things that we can do. What are those things? I don't know.
It's interesting. Yeah. Cause I wonder what transfers the best over to, you know, a hybrid kind of thing. Like you'd think maybe the speaker or like the panels, like you might want to just watch panels or have them on demand. I don't know. I don't run a festival.
We did kind of like this stuff. Years ago when we did Zoom in or Skype in the Creator Backscop, and that was a total virtual one within a theater. And that was cool because I think the show was premiering like that night or the next day. And he wanted to actually watch it with his nephew because they created it together. So he was can we just, you know, Zoom in for this? And we're like, sure. But the downside of that is you don't get to hang out with the people afterwards too. Like I think a big part of Taffy is hanging out with your guests. That's what I really like.
Yeah.
So, you know, shooting pool with John Musker, like what's better than that? Not much.
I think that's a huge advantage that Taffy has because it does seem really accessible compared to other film festivals out there. Like, yeah, you can totally just be hanging out with all the guests and it's like small enough that it doesn't ever really feel out of place. You can just kind of chat with anybody that's there for the most part. And
it's interesting because like I started talking with John Musker. He's like, to me, he's like a giant in my mind. He's like,
talk a bit about John Musker for the listeners out there.
Well, yeah, John Musker and Ron Clements were the duo who directed my favorite Disney movie, Aladdin, amongst others, Moana, to name another. So I was very nervous to approach him, but as soon as you start talking, it's just like any two animators just talking shop and talking about stuff they like, you know, it's the status difference. While it definitely is still there, it while you're talking, it dissolves away. And it's just like, you know, and
meanwhile, Barney's coming up to you with squirt guns, just be like, talk amongst your class, talk amongst your class. And you ignored it. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Spencer Moreland, let's talk about your short film. It's called Mountain Move and it's playing at the festival.
My short is playing in the festival. It's been, you know, I made the short. Part of my incentive behind making a short was, if it gets into festivals, then I can go to all these festivals. And I, you know, I had this thought in my head back in February when we could go to actual festivals. So part of the reason is gone because it's traveled the world, but without me, it played at different festivals, but they've all been virtual, which is still cool. And feels like it's coming home to Taffy because it was actually the day after last year's Taffy, that I came home. I'd already kind of scripted out a short, but after I came home from Taffy, I realized my film was missing a lot of things that I saw in other people's shorts. So it was kind of, I was inspired.
I need mountains now.
I was like, oh, mountains. I gotta change my characters to mountains. I just noticed all the stuff that I liked the most. It made me realize what my film was lacking. So it was kind of an inspiration. And the day after I got back, literally, I kind of reworked the whole thing. And so the fact that it's now playing Taffy next year is kind of like a fun full circle thing.
Yeah. Joe, what have you got going on here at this year's Taffy?
Oh, just a little thing called helping host a drink and draw with Spencer.
The host with the ghost is what they do.
Yeah. I'll be kicking around the Discord doing the rounds.
So this will be a virtual drink and draw. So nobody can, you know, share pictures this time. That's unfortunate. But
we can share pictures.
Oh, we can.
No we way. Draw it together. It's a shared canvas. I'll see your little cursor moving around and I'll try and draw around it. And it's pretty cool. It's a technique Spencer and I created.
Pictures of beer is what I was thinking.
Yeah, you could do that too.
Oh, pictures of beer.
Pictures. Yeah. Right. Those will be.
Those you gotta get yourself, yeah.
Well, you can, if you're listening to this and you want to participate, then check out taffy.com and then click on the side thing to the Discord and then pop in and then you can hang out with us all tonight. SW will be there too.
TAAFI.com.
Yeah, two A's, animation and arts.
I think about the time that you were getting ready to leave animation school, you met up with comedy legend Joe Flaherty of SCTV fame.
Yeah, he taught us, and then we tricked him into doing voices for our show.
Yeah, you studied improv under Count Floyd, and then he loaned his voice to your cable access comedy show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we gave him, in return for doing a voice for our show, we gave him a log splitting axe with a sticker on it of our show. We gave him a 3-pack of Tidy Whiteys, and we gave him a bottle of whiskey in a homemade box. And we're like, will you do voices for us? And he's like, what am I going to do? When we're like, we brought a microphone right here. And he's like, oh, okay, I guess I'll do it.
So what did your improv tutelage under Joe Flaherty teach you about, say, running a festival?
Well, just like making stuff up and getting people behind it, I think. Like SCTV, I think, taught us that you can just, you know, make a show in Canada, and that we did that. And then I did a bunch of acting and stuff, and that just got me better at, you know, talking. And then that kind of led into teaching, and then teaching kind of led into, you know, getting students to do things for me. And then that kind of led into running a festival and still doing that. So it's, everything's going together. I don't know where I'm going to with that. Maybe starting a cult at some point, or maybe this is my cult. But seems to be going fine.
So when the world comes back together, are you worried that there's just going to be
so many
people at home working from home and not trading ideas back and forth in a studio space? Is that a worry that you have?
Yeah. I mean, in person's always better for jamming and stuff. But I mean, there's halfways on these things. And I think maybe the new normal will be, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I don't know. Joel, what do you think?
I think it's, I think people are just going to have to get used to this digital collaborating kind of thing. Like for instance, maybe we'll just hang out on Zoom, but not have to like entertain each other throughout. Just like, you're there, I'm here, we're working away. That's collaborating now. That's as close as you're going to get for a bit. But I mean, it still works. Like, I've done scripts like that with friends, and you know, you just kind of like say something once in a while, not like continually.
I was just going to say one more thing. Like, I think you could have, like, if everything goes back to the normal the way it was, you could have things where you get together people and write and come up with ideas and that kind of stuff, brainstorm together, but then continue discussion and then refine things online like right. this. Yeah. But I think I think it's always best in person for things, and especially like comedy and cartoons, just because you get to eat pizza and drink beer and goof around and shoot some hoops or whatever together. And I think that bonding is, you can't get that physical stuff here. Like, it just doesn't work. And if Joel says something funny, I can't high five him. Like, I think that there's that energy that goes back and forth that is just lost and
it transferred through the palm. That
yeah, like I could put that up. There's sparks.
You're listening to Words and Pictures, the show about the narrative arts. I'm SW Conser, and we're talking today about the Toronto Animation Arts Festival International with our guests Barnabas Warnoff, Spencer Moreland, and Joel McKenzie. Hey, if our listeners want to take advantage of the lockdown, the positive side of the lockdown, I mean, there's cool animation festivals that are streaming from around the world. I mean, there's the Zagreb, there's Hiroshima. Talk about some of the others that are showing, you know, it really is an international scene, the animation scene.
Yeah, I mean, Annecy and Anima Mundi. I mean, I haven't been to most of them because they're all in different countries and I'm just a poor little Canadian.
Pictoplasma, that one was really, really good.
That was awesome.
It was interesting because because everything's virtual, it's like, it doesn't matter that you can't make it to Copenhagen or whatever. Like you can see these different selections from the safety of your couch. So one thing that's been interesting about that too is seeing how different people are confronting the problem in different ways. Mm-hmm. And I remember I liked what Pictoplasma had where they just had the two screens side by side and you can kind of go back and forth between them.
It was super cool. It seemed like a Black Mirror, the Bandersnatch episode. Just which adventure am I choosing? Like what am I doing here? But yeah, it was really entertaining.
Yeah. And another thing I realized about that is just letting you be like, here's all the films, watch them at your leisure. It just feels so daunting. You're just like, I need you to curate it for me. Like, you need to tell me that from 8:30 to 9:30, I'm going to be watching these and then I will,
you know? Yeah.
And then having the option to watch them at your leisure, if you wanted to revisit one or if you missed a block, whatever. But I think you need to still have that aspect of it, the schedule.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to program things so they run first live, and that's the only time you can watch them. Mm-hmm. And then plus you get the chat on the side, so you can watch them in chat. Otherwise, if you have it where you can just unlock it and watch it wherever. I did some of that at the Ottawa Festival, and then it wasn't the same because you're watching this and you're like, this is great, but I get to share it with nobody, so I'm sad. Whereas in here, everything, there's a schedule, it plays at a certain time, and it's going to be fun because we have certain moderators too. So with everything, we're doing like a live Q&A. So we're Skyping in Zooming in all the filmmakers. And we have some celebrity moderators too, which these guys don't know about.
But that's what?
Yeah.
Are you moderating any?
Telltale.
Yeah, but I'm not a celebrity. I'm just a poor guy from Toronto. A celebrity moderator? Well, we might have young John Musker going to be celebrity moderating a certain cartoon party.
Wow.
So the Musk is going to be asking the Spence the hot questions.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So nobody knows.
What a role reversal.
Yeah. So there we go. So that's
my old pal Musk.
Yeah.
So Barney, you're just talking about how there is some magic to being in a theater together or in some sort of venue together, like at the same time, real time with people. It's almost the religious experience. It's like a temple, you know, just taking everything for the first time.
I'm a big believer in that. I think that's what, you know, making cartoons is about sharing them. It's not about keeping them to yourself. And I think, you know, putting things online is great. But I think that immediate feedback and the laughing that you get with the crowd and the energy you get, you know, energizes you. And I think Taffy just enables us to do, you know, whatever we want, but also like to do what we want to see and what other people want to see too. It's a community.
And I think like animation, especially like animation, when you're in TV production or movie production, whatever, it's a very collaborative, very open environment, but independent animation is such a solitary endeavor. It's like lock yourself in a basement for months or years and do this thing. And then the thing about animation festivals that you can't get anywhere else is that you're taking these weird abstract things that people toiled over for a year and like putting them on a big screen with a sold out crowd, like it's blockbuster entertainment. There's something really like, there's a unifying feeling in that. It's like, oh, even though I'm like, to make this stuff, I spend most of my time alone, toiling silently. it's this big like celebration at the end of it. Like, yeah, we all do that and let's all enjoy it together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's part of what I like about, you know, the new Taffy or how this goes is it's celebrating the shorts, and the opening ceremonies is about the shorts. Sometimes people, you know, in the past we put features on, but I think like really putting the shorts front and center, I think is what we want to do, because that's in essence what it's all about. It's all about those short films. And, you know, if you program them against anything else, they lose. So let's put them up by themselves. So you have no other choice but to watch them and enjoy them and then talk about them afterwards and be like, wow. Wow.
And I will say that in Canada, there are more outlets for short films, including short animated films, than there are in the States. Your television networks will do entire weekends of animation. They'll do short films between TV shows, that sort of thing. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you definitely hear about that kind of stuff, like interstitials and different length cartoons and formats. But I didn't know that was Canada specific.
I think the NFB used to do more of that. I think maybe it's grown away from that as much. I think the NFB used to be a super powerhouse within the world too. Like a lot of people are like, wow, I used to watch NFB shorts like in Finland and all this stuff. Whereas
National
like
Film Board of Canada. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't think it's that powerhouse anymore. I think it's underfunded and kind of snipped. I think there is still great stuff. There's that great COVID film that I don't know if you guys have seen, but there's a lot of good films out there, and we do our part to celebrate them as best we can.
Well, I think there's also a ton of people doing stuff outside the system here. Like when you're surrounded by the bigger studios, like it's so awesome to get in there and all that. But I mean, when you don't have that same kind of access, then people kind of are off doing their own thing a bit more, maybe.
Well, I think the other thing too is I think that people are more alive when they work on their own stuff. I think that's the thing. They're more driven, and I think they feel more passionate about it. I think like us three, we really like doing our own thing. I haven't done as much, you know, recently because of baby and because of Taffy. But I think like once I have more time, then I'll jump back in and make some more stuff. And I think these guys are still going strong, and that's inspiring. It's inspiring to me. And that's why I like them too, is they make cartoons. I like people that make cartoons. Makes me happy.
I like having friends, so I'm going to keep making cartoons.
So if one of our listeners wants to go on to taffy.com, TAAFI.com, get themselves a pass to the festival, some more highlights that they can expect to see.
There's lots of highlights. Sorry.
Well, right there, new emotes that you can use from just joining the Discord, all these special emotes. That's a highlight for sure.
That's a highlight right there. Yeah, we have. Okay. So Friday this is mostly films, but Friday I kind of filled up with a bunch of kind of studio talks. So there's one on the only kind of adult cartoon that we have going in Canada right now, which is Doomsday Brothers. But it's kind of a behind the scenes. We're going to watch two episodes of that. And then the creator, Willem, is going to basically walk through the development of those two episodes. So show from script to screen, basically how they came together with those two episodes. We have Hilda, season two is out. And so then they're going to show a bunch of development art and stuff from that. And then we have a dude from Vancouver. He's got Sky Cloud Pictures, Evolution of Cloud Rise. Sorry, I screwed that up. But that's like an indie animator. He makes like shorts and features all by himself, and then gets composers, puts stuff onto that. And then Heavy Metal, the 40th anniversary of Heavy Metal. So Jared Platterton, he's going to be zooming in from Montreal. He's out there. He's still alive. He's 90 year old. Wow. And he made,
that's amazing.
He directed it as among one of many directors, but we got the rights to show that film, which is great. So he's going to be talking there. Plus we're giving him the Kai Pindle Animated Person of the Year Award. So a few years ago, when we started, we had the Animated Person of the Year, and we renamed it the Kai Pindle Award after Kai's passing, because he was a big inspiration to both you and I, SW, as you know.
Kai Pindle, a groundbreaking Danish animator. I think the first
brilliant
animator ever to animate for a light board in Kyoto back in 1970.
Kai came out to Peterborough when I had an animation festival as we graduated too. So, and I rode his train many times. So
he, Taffy, you know, introduced me to his work. I'd never seen his films before.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. So then basically Gerald worked with Kai back in the NFB as well. So that's a nice tie over as well. So he's actually pretty stoked to be receiving the Kai Pindle Award himself. And then we're showing a retrospective of his work on Saturday too, after our award ceremony. So we're basically going to roll right into that. So you can see awards. We're celebrating John Rooney, who passed away before our festival last year. So we're going to be showing a little tribute video to John by his industry fellow compatriots. So that's going to be a nice touching moment. And then just like, yeah, so many good cartoons on Saturday. Student shorts, which is always amazing. There's so many great student shorts from all over the world. We got a bunch from Gobelin. We got a bunch from Canada. We got a bunch from the States.
Remember last year, Joel, we were talking about watching the student films. It's just like the bar for quality for student work now is so much higher than it's ever
been. Like, yeah. Industry professionals can't make the stuff that these students are making now. And it's inspiring as all heck, but it's like, holy crap, don't screw up this job.
And they're doing virtual reality. They're doing like all kinds of crazy interactive stuff these days.
Yeah. Students these days, they're monsters. And like with all this, you know, getting trapped up alone, then they're, you know, yeah, virtual reality or reality within like domes. There's a whole new studio opening up in Toronto that's shooting movies, but within like a lit dome with the projections and green screenery and whatnot. So you don't even have to, it's like a sound stage, but for shooting films with VFX like ready to go.
The Mandalorian is doing that. It's like 21st century rear projection, you know, it's kind of taking that old Hollywood technology and bringing it into the digital age.
Yeah, that Sky Captain of the Planet of Tomorrow, like that. How is
that? They crawled so that Mandalorian could walk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the festival runs from March 24th through the 28th, and our listeners can find a full calendar of screenings and events at taafi.com. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Conch, you got it. You're hired. All
right.
TAAFI. It's TAAFI.
There's a theme song?
There we have a theme song.
Oh, wow.
Search,
nice.
Search Taffy Song and you'll find it. It's composed by Sam Allison, the original. We did an opera version of it last year. It's my favorite song.
Well, you've been listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, SW Conser, and we've been talking today about the Toronto Animation Arts Festival International. Thanks to our guests today, Barnabas Warnoff, Joel McKenzie, and Spencer Moreland. It's been great to talk with you all today.
Thank you so much, SW.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll see you virtually, folks. We'll see you virtually.
And a very special note of appreciation to Ken Jones for his expert work engineering today's program. Thanks also to the Oregon Media Production Association for their support and collaboration. And thanks to all our listeners on the radio dial and on the web. Meanwhile, you can find an archived version of this show later today at kboo.fm/wordsandpictures. And be sure to follow us on Twitter @wordsandpicture.